welcome to the second episode of the Design Better podcast. Assalamu alaikum, Suleiman.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ji, kya haal hai aapka?
Allah ka shukr, bilkul theek thaak. Great day today.
Ek khushkhabri hai.
Kya bataye?
Humne mic connect kiya hua. Is the mic disconnected nahi tha. So we're recording on the 8th of November. This is our second podcast episode. And we're at LUMS, and we're here today to talk about World Usability Day.
At LUMS. So today is a World Usability Day, or uske andar puri duniya ke andar different events ho rahe hain. Or I don't know if there is any in Pakistan, but we thought ke we should again start and start giving importance to this day. And we are having a sort of a mini symposium where we have two talks and a discussion on how to grow in the field of usability in Pakistan. And Imran Hussain, thank you very much for dropping by and giving a talk. I stole a few minutes from your mainstream time, and it was a good talk.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
It was fun. So yeah. I think the most important thing we'd like to talk about today is the theme of this day.
So let's start with what World Usability Day is.
Yeah, sure. So usually, so the World Usability Day is organized by an international organization, and they have themes every year.
UPA.
UPA, yeah, and they have themes every
UPA
year.
UPA stands for?
Usability Professional Association.
Yeah.
And they have themes every day, every year. And, there are, you don't have to be a member of any organization. You simply can start an event and you start reporting it on their website, and it becomes a global activity. You become the part of the global activity. In the case of Pakistan, we didn't find any other event, and the one we just did would be reported back to the website. And I think this is a great way to highlight the importance of usability in any country, in any organization, any city. It doesn't matter if it's 8th November, 10th November, 12th November. What is important is that there is a day when we can emphasize again on the importance of this usability. And that's what we're doing here at LUMS today with the help of a couple of speakers and having this mini symposium.
So do you think there are other people even aware of this day within Pakistan?
I don't know. Maybe I think many other days are being celebrated, for example, Interaction Design Day, mm-hmm. Maybe UX Day and things like that. So it's not that important anymore. But I think usability as a day is very important, because that's the base, that's the foundation. So before you have a great experience, before you have a great interaction design, so just the basic phenomena that things are effective, efficient, that's the starting point. I think that's, yeah. This emphasis is important.
So the slogan of the World Usability Day and of UPA, the Usability Professional Association, is make things easy, yeah. I believe.
Yeah, making life easy.
Making life easy, make things easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the whole emphasis is on how to create easy to use products and services, how can they be more efficient, mm-hmm. how can they be made more safe, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth.
Yeah. And I think this year, one of the things which excited me the most to have an event around it is the theme. I think the theme is very relevant. Theme is very important.
It is, actually. Yeah. I mean, given the kind of the times that we're going through.
We're going through, exactly. The design for good or evil. Yeah.
Political, social, technological climate nowadays is people are discussing and thinking about it.
Yeah.
So the theme, for those who don't know, that today this year's theme for World Usability Day is design for good or evil.
Evil. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And every year they have a different theme.
Theme.
So this year's theme is design for good or evil. And I was a bit surprised, they didn't say good design versus bad design. They didn't say design for good or bad. They actually used a very kind of a term which is quite extreme, like evil. That was interesting.
Yeah, this is because I think, and I think this makes sense also, because from the last many years, we're looking at the kind of things you also talked about in your talk, addiction. We start using applications, we start using devices or programs. They start as a need-based, pleasure-based activity, but then we just can't get rid of them. I think maybe you would like to reflect on that. You know, one of the things you talked about in your design, in your talk also.
Yes. So when we usually think of addiction, we usually think about if people are using drugs or alcohol and, you know, things of that nature. But addiction can take many shapes and forms. And with the pervasiveness of technology and, you know, devices, smartphones, it's... I think the way people use their devices, in many cases, it has become a form of addiction. Where we find that people are always distracted. They're spending, you know, way too much time on their devices as opposed to other human beings.
Yeah.
And especially young people and children who are not that mature, you know, it's very hard for them to kind of understand the difference.
Yeah.
And to be able to control themselves, and it's difficult even for adults as well.
Right.
So, it is in some way a kind of an addiction, you know.
Addiction.
Yeah.
And you know.
But we don't think of addiction in those terms.
Yeah.
You know, we usually think of addiction like drugs and alcohol and those kind of things. So, I think that's it's important to kind of look at it from that aspect. And when we do, then we can look into, okay, what are the harmful effects of technology?
Yeah.
Is it good? Is it bad? Is it evil?
Yeah, certainly. And I think we are fighting for attention. We want to get as much attention as possible as designers, that users are paying attention, you know, they are occupied. It's about all about time spent. It's all about number of clicks. It's all about number of hours on the Facebook use. And I think this whole phenomena, you know, of good use of technology is fading away. And this fight for attention has become the big thing. And there's a lot of research, particularly from social sciences, which is looking at the negative effect of technology adoption and a negative effect of technology usage. And I think the term evil is rightly used. It's a strong term, but I think we need to send a very strong message that, you know, enough is enough. You know, give our life back to us and we can control. You know, this abuse of our attention should stop at a certain stage.
So that kind of raises the question, what is good design?
Yeah.
If an app or a product is designed in a way that people want to use it more and more and more, and the intent behind that design is to engage people more and more to get more of their data, to get more clicks so that they can make more money, without looking at the consequences of that on human behavior and society, then I think that's something that is quite alarming, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And and we're seeing this since the, you know, companies like Apple, they've now introduced, you know, features which limit, you know, the time you can spend on the screen, and you can kind of limit the time that your family members spend on the screen,
or at least maybe monitor it, you know, how are you spending it. You know,
yes.
At least just this reflection that how your day is being shaped with the device, just mere reflection can be very helpful, you know, in maybe controlling eventually. You know, the first and the most important thing, you know what is happening. Right now, there was no mechanism to track, and all those tracking devices, you or softwares you install were just not very helpful. So I think this inherited feature would be good. But I think, again, you know, this is the right time to discuss this very important thing. What is good design? What is bad design? And what is evil about it? And I think the companies are talking about it. You know, Facebook is being, again and again.
Facebook is being hammered.
Yeah.
I mean, left, right, and center.
Yeah.
But people still keep using it.
So
you know, when designers try to design a product, they are explicitly told, and they also want people to become engaged.
Engaged.
You know. So I think the whole framework of design needs to be kind of very carefully looked at.
Yeah.
You know, and there has to be, I'm a bit kind of, I'm careful using this word, but you have to think about the ideology of design. You know, there has to be an ideology behind what you're trying to do as well. So not just a framework of tools and methods and a way of thinking, but the ideology has to be there. You know?
At least on the framework level, a lot of work is being done now in UX community, the design community, who are rethinking about new design frameworks. You know, and I think this might help in having a good you know, reflection or maybe, you know, revisiting the way we design. But I think this is a long topic.
Yeah.
I think we will some other day we'll get back to this. But I think today it was important to at least once again highlight that the world is facing a problem when it comes to engagement and attention, and design community can again do a good job if we start paying attention to this. And then second, I think, which is more important, that this is raised on a very special day, that is, you know, World Usability Day. And I think we should also start looking at that. How can we improve the visibility of that day and start doing more in Pakistan on this day? So any thoughts on that, maybe, Imran?
Yeah, we should do it.
We should do it.
I think we should get the word out. I think it's important to raise awareness. And, you know, these kind of days help us do that. They help to kind of get the word out.
So at least at LAMS level, at my lab level, what we're trying to do actually for the next year, we've already built a few collaborations. So we plan to have at least 5 events in 5 different 4 different provinces to celebrate this at an academic level. And if people could start doing it also at professional level in companies in different cities, I think this would be it doesn't have to be on 8th of November. It's just that, we start doing these things in outreach activities and reflecting on starting from very basic topic of usability and going all the way up on ethics of design.
So all the people out there listening, we encourage all of you to get together wherever you are, in your company, in your city, at your university, get together and try to just maybe spend an hour or so talking about usability and the importance of good design versus evil design. Very extreme term, but some of the examples that we looked at today in the talks were quite relevant and quite pertinent, I just want to quickly mention them. Like, there was the 3 mile mile island accident. Then we looked at the addictive nature of Facebook, social media in general, and also the fact that Google no longer has a do not evil clause in their code of conduct. That's interesting. Google's now also involved with the I think they had a contract with the U.S. military.
Yeah, but
on an AI drone program. But I think that they've withdrawn from that. Maybe. I'm not sure. And we talked about Google Glass.
And
the impact on privacy and, you know, the whole social nature of things. And then we also looked at how road design sign design for roads can also affect, can be good or bad.
Exactly. And then we also talked about, the road designs for, at crossings, using your mobile phone, you're paying attention to your mobile phone, and you have no idea if it is green or red. And this whole support system, in your peripherals, and this ambience, awareness can help a lot for your well-being. And finally, we talked about that a good design can save life, it can certainly save life.
Yeah. So, ultimately, the difference between good design and bad design is really, it's all about good and evil.
Yeah.
It can really be a matter of life and death.
Life and death. Yeah. And I think we've seen lots of examples.
Yeah. So I think what we should do is we should put these examples out.
Yeah. On the web page. Talks. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think we should put the PowerPoint and also some of the examples online so that other people have a visual information about what we talked about today. Yeah.
Yeah. I organized a World Usability Day event, excuse me, that's about 9 or 10 years ago.
Wow. And you mentioned that. And that was the first maybe one. And then after that, not much happened.
I don't want to kind of claim that was the first one because I'm not sure. But that the theme for that year was travel and transportation.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was in academia at that time, and it was a full day event. And it was done in collaboration with some local partners and also Google as well.
Okay.
We had speakers from Google India because they have a service, Google Maps.
Okay.
We also had people from academia who work in transportation. like from UET.
Very nice.
And urban planning, we also had people who, activists and environmentalists, who, you know.
So it was a full-fledged
Yeah, we also had a case study on service design for the NHA e-tax system.
Very nice.
Yeah, so it was good fun. We also screened a documentary as well.
So this is something we can think of next time also to expand it a bit at LUMS.
Listening out there, you should also, we encourage you to organize your own programs.
Yeah, exactly.
And events wherever you are locally.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And we will do our bit, you do your bit, and I think slowly and steadily we'll be able to build this community where multiple events are connected, and we're trying to raise the bar both for, you know, about in terms of awareness and also in terms of acceptance of design, both in academia and in industry. I think that's the key message we want to give.
So everyone out there, please raise awareness about usability.
Yeah.
And hopefully next year will be done on a much grander scale in Pakistan.
Inshallah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see, just before we started recording, you were showing me, Suleiman, on a Google map. That there's one event in India.
Yeah, one in India.
And there's one event in Pakistan.
And then the whole Europe and the U.S. is packed.
Quite a few in Europe and quite a few in America.
So I think we can certainly start spreading the word.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. I think this is just a sort of a quick message, wrapping up our day.
But we're not done yet.
Yeah. No?
No. I just want to quickly talk about social media.
Okay.
So, before I started my talk, I asked everyone, how many people don't use Facebook, how many people don't use Instagram, and how many people don't use WhatsApp. So everyone in the hall said they use WhatsApp.
Yeah.
But quite a few didn't use Instagram, and quite a few don't use Twitter. So, and you're one of them.
Yeah, I'm certain. And
so what's your beef with Twitter?
I just don't know how to use it.
But you use Instagram.
Yeah, but Twitter
Instagram, I just recently started using Instagram. I created an account many years ago, but I just didn't have the motivation to use it. So I've just recently started using it for, a design betuk.
Yeah.
Initiative, and it's not that great. It's the usability design leaves a lot to be desired. If I can use Instagram, why can't you use Twitter?
It means you haven't used this another thing.
Snapchat.
Snapchat. Oh my God!
I have.
I installed it, yeah. And I looked at it and I said, "What now?"
लेकिन पता क्या है? हम बूढ़े हो गए.
I think so. मुझे तो कुछ
teenagers love
it. कक पल्ले नहीं पड़ा, कुछ समझ नहीं आई.
Twitter is simple.
Twitter is fine,
I mean, if you look at it,
Twitter is fine.
All the concepts.
Snapchat is ultimate. It's just.
But we're not talking about Snapchat right now. I'm talking about Twitter. I'm talking about you, and so there are so many features that Twitter introduced, like the whole follow paradigm and phenomena.
Certainly.
That was started by Twitter. Yeah. That now everyone follows and everyone kind of incorporates into their products.
Yeah.
So
I can read tweets, but I think my biggest problem was I talk a lot, mm-hmm. and then squeezing everything in 140. That was another big issue for me.
It's actually now 280 now.
280 now. Okay, that gives me some breathing space. I always write something and it was never under 140. And I said, it's just not for me.
But that's the beauty of it.
Certainly, but not for me,
I mean, that's the beauty that, instead of you go to Facebook and it's like, some good bomb party out there. It's really focused. The thing I love about Twitter, it's really focused. It helps you kind of condense your thoughts.
Yeah.
Kind of, you have to kind of think, a bit about what you're writing.
Yeah, but I'm a professor, we love telling stories.
Talking and writing.
and writing, something which could be sun, a set in, roti rozi pe aap hamari laat maar rahe hain.
But, so I'm going to put down a condition that before we record the next podcast episode, you have to start using Twitter.
Okay, let's try that.
Okay, so that's a wrap for today. Thanks a lot for those listening out there. If you want to learn more about what we're doing, you can follow Suleiman on Twitter. And you can also follow me on Twitter as well. And we also have We're also on Instagram and also on Twitter as well. If you go to twitter.com/designbaitak, that's spelled B-A-I-T-H-A-K. Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.